On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third, and on the third day be risen, and be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves and went away wondering to himself what had happened.
Well, good morning and a happy Easter. It's lovely to be with you and really special to be sharing this day with you. I'm going to talk for less than 10 minutes. So if any of the children want to, or adults want to go and do some colouring, the back corner is there's stuff there. So please go and help yourselves. So as we come to think about God's word, why don't we pray together? Lord, we just thank you for this special day, and we pray that as we dwell on your word this morning, you will be speaking to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if the story of the resurrection was turned into a blockbuster film for the cinema, and it has been, I don't think they would be using St. Luke's Gospel or St. Luke as the writer and director. It's the greatest story ever told. And yet, did you notice in the account that Zoe read for us this morning, there's no ta-da moment as Jesus reappears, no rolling of drums, no triumphant crowd to welcome him, no applause or backslapping. It's muted. In fact, the opposite seems to be true. Luke's gospel is understated and quiet. There's no angelic host. Rather, the two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning. I'm never going to be able to pass workmen again without. And their message, well, it's simple. Remember what he told you? He's risen. That's all it is. No three-point sermon. The women who are first to arrive at the tomb are not believed. Their words seem like nonsense. And Peter, you know, big, brave, brash Peter, is left wondering what on earth has just happened. We don't even see the risen Christ in this excerpt. And this seems really strange. But as we think about it, it seems to be most normal for Jesus not to be recognised by those who'd loved him and spent time with him. Think of the stories, and James, I'm trying not to encroach on your story for next week, but think of the stories, Emmaus Road disciples, Mary Magdalene in the garden, breakfast on the beach. Jesus doesn't come in with a great fanfare. Rather, he comes along quietly, alongside his friends. And it's in the process of being with them that he's revealed for who he is. On that first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and all the rest of the disciples were still in Holy Saturday mode. they'd hit the wall. The old patterns for living with Jesus seemed to have deserted them. They didn't understand what was happening. Nothing made sense. They were confused and frightened. And I guess we can all identify with those feelings. We all know Holy Saturday times in our lives. Perhaps times where we face bereavement and loss, when dreams and promises don't work out, when illness strikes, when friends leave us, and relationships fail. Maybe you're in one of those times today. But the good news of Easter is that it's into those very moments, those Holy Saturdays, that the risen Christ comes. And as we look at this passage, there are a couple of pointers to help us as we make our own Easter journey. The first thing is to wonder. The women wondered at the empty tomb, and Peter wonders at the grave cloths. Now, wondering is about questions, hopes, doubts. I wonder how, I wonder why, I wonder if. But wondering is also about delight and joy, even worship. Yes, we so often sing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder," we look and are amazed without knowing everything. To be honest, I don't think we're very good at wondering. I think children are very good at it. Perhaps we grown-ups want to have everything sorted out. And in our information-focused age, not knowing can feel like failure. But time to wonder allows us time to be unknowing, to let go of our bright ideas and allow space for possibilities. It's from that place of not knowing and failure that the disciples wonder with each other on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus comes alongside them, unexpected and unannounced. It's as the disciples wonder, meeting together in the upper room, that Jesus stands among them saying, "Peace be with you." It's as Thomas shares his doubts and his wonderings that Jesus reveals himself in a new and deeper way. So perhaps wondering gives us the space we need to encounter the risen Christ. So this Easter, when you go home, if you've got a minute, how about indulging in a bit of wondering? And then the second point is to remember. Remember what he told you, say the men in white clothes. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. When we find ourselves in that Holy Saturday of loss and fear, guilt and shame, we are to remember Jesus' words. The hands of sinners are literally the hands of those who brought him to the cross. But the hands of sinners must include all of us. Jesus bore the weight of sin for all humanity, past and yet to come. The sins, yours and mine, he took them to the cross. But by his resurrection, Jesus proclaims not only his victory over death, but also over sin. All our failures, all our sin, all our guilt and shame are swept away in the power of the resurrection. And by the resurrection of Jesus, we are made new. It's beautiful. As we read about those resurrection appearances, we see that Jesus quietly reveals himself to his disciples. And in that revelation, they too are made new. They are healed, transformed, gently recalibrated, and made ready for the next stage of their journey. In the understatement of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, there is space for us all to enter the story and to encounter the risen Christ. The resurrection of Jesus not only brings new life to him, it brings new life to all of us. Earlier in the service, the children were helping us to spot the unexpected. And maybe that's what life with Jesus is like. Every day, God invites us to look for unexpected gifts of grace and mercy that remind us that the Lord is risen and he is with us. He is the one who promises to make all things new. And he's already here in his broken world, dealing with all our sin and failure. So we say it every Sunday, but this Easter and every day, let's say it with renewed hope and wonder. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Hallelujah. Amen.